I am a facilitator in a course called Kairos, and it is a course that talks about or teaches the mission of God and how that we need to be on mission with God. And so today I'm going to talk about one of the lessons that come from that. Some of you that have taken Kairos will probably find this familiar. And the title of my message is going to be called Blessed to be a Blessing. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, as Pastor Jim says, please turn to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And if you want to mark your Bibles, we're going to also refer to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Acts 3, 24 through 26. Father, as we open your word, open our hearts and minds that we may be changed or transformed into what you desire. Amen. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is known as the Abrahamic covenant. And a covenant is an agreement that or a promise between two people. There are two kinds of covenants. There's a conditional and an unconditional covenant. The conditional covenant is an agreement that is binding on both parties. And if one party fails to meet that obligation, the covenant is broken or breached. An unconditional covenant is an obligation or an agreement between two parties, but only one of the parties is obligated to do something. Nothing is required of the other party, but usually the other party is asked to do something. It is just not required. The covenant made to Abram by God is an unconditional covenant and was only binding on God and would not be revoked. It is still pertinent today through God's people. But Abram was asked to be a part of this covenant or agreement. This covenant had three promises to Abram. The first one was the promise to own land. The second one was the promise to be made into a great nation, and the third was the promise of blessing. You know, some people say that first part of that covenant, the promise of his own land, has been fulfilled when Israel became a country in 1948, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess, on that. In this covenant, we talk about nations, and biblically, when we talk about nations, we are talking about people groups or ethnic groups. An example of this would be, at this time, would be the Jews, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and others, the Hittites. You know, today, we might be talking about Americans or Chinese. In the first part, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God is promising Abram a land in Canaan that would be his and for his descendants. And God is asking Abram to pack up his whole family, including his household goods and all his animals. Abram lived in Haran with all his family, including his parents, and it was hundreds of miles away from Canaan. And if you've ever moved, you know this can be quite traumatic. You know, he didn't have the ability to call a moving company or have boxes to pack or things of this nature. We're sort of going through this now because of our plan to move, but we spent 2 days just purging photos. But you know, Abraham didn't have any of the conveniences that we have. So, also, consider Abram's faith. Abram took God at his word, even though we don't know that if he was a believer in Yahweh. The people of Haran worshiped the ancient Babylonian pantheon of gods, in particular the moon god Sin. So God called Abram out of a pagan culture. I believe God placed on Abram's heart the ability to believe by his grace, just as God gives us faith to believe in Jesus Christ by his grace. God also did not give Abram any specific directions of how to get there. He just told him to go to a land that I will show you. Would we have been so willing? And he went right away. I know myself, I don't know if I'd be so willing. I would have wanted to know exactly where I would be going, and then I would want to check it out on a map or use my GPS to find it. But Abraham had no map, much less a GPS. But he went anyway. But then again, he heard directly from God. I would hope that I would be so willing then. The next part of the covenant says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. God was choosing Abram and his tribe as his people. God was choosing them out of all the people of the world, specifically setting them apart from the world to be his treasured possession, a royal priesthood. Abram's family was not the biggest family or even the greatest, but God chose them to be his. This eventually becomes the nation of Israel. In part, I will make of you a great nation. God is telling Abram that his family would grow into a great nation of many people, which was suspect in that Abram and his wife Sarai were childless and quite old and quite past their time to have kids. But God kept his promise, and Isaac and later Abram told Abram that his descendants would be as many as the stars in heaven and as the sand on the seashore in Genesis 22:17. God later reiterates his covenant blessing with Isaac and Jacob. And in Genesis 28:14, he tells Jacob that his descendants would be like dust. Can we count the stars or the sand? And you know what happens to dust? Ask my wife. It gets into everything. And just like that, God's word goes everywhere, and it's all over the world. God kept that promise. God's name is known on every continent in the world. God also promises to make Abram's name great, to bless him, but not just for him to use, but so that he could be a blessing to the families of the world. There was a purpose for doing this. God wanted to use Abram and his family to bless the nations of the world by making God's name known. This blessing to the nation is spiritual in nature, but can include physical things. God also told Abram that those nations that blessed him, blessed Abram, God would bless them too, and that those nations that cursed Abram, they would be cursed. The ultimate blessing, though, would arrive in the person of Jesus Christ that can trace his lineage all the way back to Abram. So those nations where Abram lived and that blessed him, they were blessed along with Abraham as long as they honored Abram and his God. This theme is mentioned again and again throughout the Old and the New Testament. This is one of the things that came out of Kairos, and you've never seen it before. There are over 395 passages in the Bible that either paraphrase or abridge this Genesis 12:2-3. There's 70 in the New Testament alone. So next time as you read, you can look for them. The theme of this covenant is that God would bless Abraham and his descendants, and they were to be a blessing to the nations. The reason being is that God wanted his name to be made known to all the nations of the world. The nation of Israel, or Abraham's descendants, were to make God's name known so that the nations of the world would come to know God, to trust him and believe in him so that they would be blessed. When God instructed the Israelites to build the temple, the largest part of that temple was to be called the Court of the Gentiles, which was specifically designed for the Gentiles to come and learn about Yahweh, or God. And when King Solomon dedicated that temple, he talks about how the Jews were to welcome the Gentiles into it and to tell them about Yahweh. God has always wanted to be the God of everyone, not just Abraham's descendant. God wants to be a God for all peoples. Dr. Don Richardson, who is a Canadian Christian missionary, a teacher, author, and speaker, calls this first part of the Abrahamic blessing a top-line blessing to help you remember. This blessing is for us, our family, and our nation. And God has been faithful in this top-line blessing. I mean, just look around us in our country alone. We are truly, truly blessed. God will bless us, but we are not to just keep this blessing for ourselves, but to share this blessing with people that are not like us, people of a different culture, who don't know God, people who are different, and people who are different than us and to give them this bottom line blessing. Abraham was to take that blessing that God gave him, that knowledge of the God of the universe, Yahweh, and share it with everyone he met. That's that bottom line blessing, that knowledge of God, to take it to the nations of the world. He was to make God's name known and his glory known, and we are to take that to the nations of the world. Does this sound like something you've heard before or something that Christ charged us with? Let's look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" As I mentioned earlier, that blessing in the Abrahamic covenant is mostly spiritual. And what could be a better blessing than to share the good news of the gospel, to make Jesus Christ known to all the nations? And if you've repented of your sins and have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then you are grafted into Christ's lineage and to Abraham's, which makes you an heir to this covenant. We are grafted in by faith in Jesus Christ, and as such, we have a responsibility as a church and as an individual. We are to share the good news of the gospel with the world and to the nations. This is that bottom line blessing that Dr. Richardson is talking of. Paul writes in Acts 3:24-26, and he says, "And all prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after them, also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God has raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." So what is Paul saying? Paul is repeating that Abrahamic covenant. He is also showing that even the prophets spoke of this. And since we are part of that royal priesthood, we are to take God's word and the good news of Jesus Christ to all the families of the world. So you can see that this covenant is still pertinent today and for us. But how are we doing? Israel did not do a good job of telling the Gentile nations about God and of the coming Savior. Remember, Christ threw them out of the temple because of what they were doing in the temple. Are we any better? It's easy to pray, serve, and accept that top-line blessing. But how about the bottom-line blessing? I don't know about you, but I don't do so well. But I'm praying to God to help me to be more attuned to this bottom-line blessing that I am to give away. This is not just a responsibility as an individual believer, but also for the church. What are some ways we can do this? Most of us are not going to go overseas on a mission, but what about right here? Do we have neighbors or coworkers that are not like us, that we could show hospitality to and befriend them? To invite them to dinner or lunch or just a cup of coffee and take the opportunity when presented to share with them the love of Christ. We can also support missionary groups financially that are working with least reach or unreached people groups. And we can always pray for those people groups that are considered least reach or unreached. As Pastor Jim has mentioned before, you can subscribe to the Joshua Project, or just log in on it. It's free. That will give you a least reach people group to pray for every day. It can also give you the information on all 7,415 unreached people groups around the world. Many of these groups are people that are coming to our country for education, jobs, or through displacement caused from wars or immigration. Just look at the numbers that have come here from Afghanistan or immigrants coming across our southern and northern border. Whether you agree with it or not, God is doing mighty things, moving people around the world more than any other time to make his name known. So we don't have to go overseas or go to some far-off country. Many are right here. Wouldn't it be amazing that if we could befriend a student that came here for an education from a closed country and share Christ with them, And better yet, if they became a believer and then went back home, they could share this faith with their family and their friends. You know, it can be done. It can be easy. Deb Flesher in her own congregation does ESL, which is English as a second language, with a young girl from Yemen. And she's taken the opportunity to share Christ with her. You know, so it can be done. You know, do you realize you have a Muslim mosque right here in Dover, over by Target? Unreached people are in our backyards. According to the Joshua Project, there are over 17,427 people groups or nations in the world today, or just under 8 billion people. Of that total, 7,415 groups, or 3.37 billion people that woke up today doomed because they have not been introduced to Christ. How tragic is that? Can we do better? I challenge each of you to do something so that maybe one, maybe two, or maybe more might come to know the love of Jesus Christ, which we have been blessed to know and to love. Let us do our part in completing the Abrahamic covenant and the Great Commission. Let us pray. Father, we lift up all those individuals that don't know you in the world, in our country, in our state, and in our community. We pray that you would draw them to you by your grace. We pray that you would create opportunities for us to meet and come to know those people that are not like us. We pray that we would be open and welcoming to them and not to be fearful of them. We pray that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we would engage with them and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ so that we can fulfill that blessing that we are called to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.